Hellbent listeners, welcome to the Syndicate's most twisted tale yet. A film where every cut is deeper, every scream echoes longer, and every shot might just be your last. X by Ty West. In the sultry Texan heat, a group of misfits and mavericks roll camera on the unholiest of pictures, hatching plans for stardom and risque dreams in their makeshift Hollywood. So pop that popcorn and lock your doors, and prepare for a film discussion that's equal parts beauty and brutality. Join us, if you dare, as we revisit the sizzling 70s. The show starts now. Thank you so much for coming back onto the show. It's a lovely day in Chicago. It's a beautiful day that we're going to spend inside because we just watched an awesome movie from 2022, X. So this was...
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this was... I don't know why I slept on this film so long. Now, this was my suggestion to you because like we watched Suspiria a few months ago and Mia Goth was in that one. As like a secondary character to Dakota Johnson. And I was like, would you be interested in doing this trilogy of films from Ty West with A24 starring Mia Goth as the main character? And you're like, yes. And then we watched X. What did you think?
It's kind of funny because sometimes one of my favorite things to do to like zone out is to sit on the couch and just like look at all like the options for me to watch. Yeah. And I swear to God, this movie, I have stopped at the like picture to watch it like 12 times. So when you said it, I was like, okay, I'll finally pull the trigger. Yeah, let's watch it. I didn't know what to expect. And I really liked it. I had a fun ride. I was a little like hesitant and cautious, but I start to finish, it had me in the movie. I was happy.
Oh, that's good to hear. Because, like, I was in the same boat. I had no idea what to expect. I went into this blind. I did zero research. I just know this film called X. There's a prequel called Pearl. Somehow they're connected. And then watching this, I was pleasantly surprised because I don't know about you, but I think you told me, like, you didn't like horror movies growing up. They scared you, as they should. My friends and I, we would watch all of the trashy slasher films from the 1970s and 80s of like all the Halloweens, all the Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, all of them, and all like the copycat ones. So like watching this was like taking a stroll down memory lane. I was like, oh my God, this is like an homage to like the 1970s slasher films. I see it right here front and center, but it's modernized. Modernize in a way where it's like not cheesy because like there's been plenty of like modern slasher films that came out like within the last few years and like they're kind of it's like this uncanny valley effect where it's like yeah this is a slasher film I'm watching but it's like is it self-aware you know it's like it just feels weird and off like an alien made it's like this is a slasher movie it's like there's something not right about it.
I think A24 is really good at unsettling its audience. And it's but it's not unsettling enough like I want to leave or turn it off. It makes me curious. I think they have they toe that line very well.
They truly do cuz like at the end of the day like A24 makes like solid horror movies, but it's also cinema. It's not like an exploitation movie. Cuz like those films speaking of slashers like back in the day, it was just a show like creative special effects, gore, nudity. And with this film, it's like, yeah, let's take a look back on those films, but through an artistic eye, through an artistic lens. And like, even the film itself takes a little critique on that because, like, before we get into it, it's like they're making like an adult film. And like back then, it was like, you know, cheap, it's you know, exploitation films. And like the guy making it's like, yeah, but this is going to be different because this is cinema. And then
there's
if you,
passion.
yeah, there's passion behind the camera. And like watching this film, I'm like, that's literally, he's literally describing the film I'm watching right now.
Yes.
I love
Very,
it.
very self-aware.
Yes. So you liked it overall.
I did. I
Now,
did like it.
growing up, did you watch any of like the slasher films like Halloween or any of those? Or did you like avoid them like the plague?
I didn't really watch them. I think in college I saw my my friend Nina, who has recommended like other movies that we've talked about together. She watches a lot of critique and all that. So I've been exposed to it through
Yeah.
her, but I haven't sat down like watched like a Michael Myers from beginning to end or something.
You're not missing much. I would say 90%, like the first film, in my opinion, is amazing, but like all the other ones, it's like, all right, you want to see kills, you want to see gore. That's what it becomes. And it's like, it's formulaic. And like this film kind of messes with the formula, but not in like
Yes.
a Scream way, not like a meta way, but like it kind of like subverts it in a way where it's like, okay, you understand like, oh, this is gonna be a slasher film, so like you know like the typical conventions of like what happens with all these characters, and then the film just like puts it on its head and like makes it
Yeah.
very refreshing.
Really goes away from the standard tropes too, which is very, very refreshing, like you mentioned. I will say I made one mistake.
What was your mistake?
I told you,
Did you watch
let's
this
do
before night? Before
No.
bedtime and get nightmares?
No, I watched it in the middle of the day. I'm okay. No, my mistake was I told you let's just do X, and you're like, and you had asked about doing a double feature, and after I watched it, I wanted to go into Pearl so bad. I
Did you watch
was like,
Pearl?
I did it.
You did not.
I didn't do it. I wanted to slowly focus on X for this one, but probably when we're done, I'll probably go watch Pearl.
I am dying to watch Pearl. Because, like, watching this, I was like, shoot, should we have done a double feature? But I want to focus in on this one. Like, it deserves
Yeah.
its own singular discussion. Well, I'm glad. Yeah. And
Wow, we're like
next,
twinsies. We're on the same
we're on
wavelength.
the same wavelength. So, Allie, would you like to give like a overall plot synopsis of like X before we like really get into the nitty-gritty with all these characters and themes that this film is talking about?
Sure. Okay, so X follows this group of adult actresses, actors, and this like small little film crew who want to make a adult movie and become famous, be stars. And so the older one of the group, he rents this cabin, you know, desolate in Texas, and there's an old couple that lives there, and so they go to the this like farm, and they film this movie, and then you know, the old couple's not what it seems like, and shenanigans ensue, and then by the end of the movie, we only have one final girl, and I'll leave it at that. What happens? You'll have to watch.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh my God. Yeah, like, like we said earlier, I went into this blind. I didn't even know anything about the plot. I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, oh, an aspiring film crew, specifically adult film crew, and they want to make it big. And how are they going to make it big was like making essentially a smut movie. It's like, I want to, because like we have like the main character, Maxine. And she's played by Mia Goth, and she wants to be a star. She wants to be remembered. And like her
She has
boy,
that X factor.
she has that X factor, which goes into the title. Yeah, like everyone wants to not fall prey to where they came from. So like this film takes place in Texas in the 1970s, and in the beginning it shows like kind of like their hometown, and it's like you see like the industrial factories in the background. So it's like that's what they're kind of destined to go into because like those are the jobs available where they live. And it's like the main guy who is like the producer, he's like, I don't want to wear a hard hat for the rest of my life. I want to make it big. And it's like aspirations, good for you, good for all of them. And yeah, they go to this like farm super low budget film, and like the what do you call it? The director that they hired, he wants to like shoot it avant-garde because then it masks the low budgetness. And I find that hilarious because like I watch a lot of art films and they're dirt cheap, but like they're shot so beautifully and it truly does mask what I'm watching.
Yeah.
It hides the budget.
I will say also, I watched this on Prime and it has that little X-ray and I paused it. I don't know. I think I was taking notes, so I paused it and then it shows you in the X-ray who's in the movie and I go, Kid Cudi. What, the Lonely Stoner.
No, out of all the people that are in this film, Kid Cudi. Oh my
He got
God.
it great.
He did. He was good. Everyone did great in this film.
Yes.
Kid Cudi. Funny thing about Kid Cudi. My friends back in the day, they had a band. It was like a pop punk band.
Nice.
And they opened up for Kid Cudi.
No way.
Yes way. And this was before he was like moderately big. He wasn't like big. He didn't have the X Factor yet. Or maybe he always had the X Factor. But like they opened up for him and they told me afterwards, yeah, Armand, Kid Cudi was a jackass. I was like, what?
Really?
I was like, why? He's such a prima donna. All this stuff. I don't mean to spill the tea, but that's my only fun story about Kid Cudi.
Kid Cudi.
Oh. But no, he has that X Factor. He was a very good actor.
Yeah.
So yeah, what I really liked about this film was, even though it's a simplistic movie, it's a slasher film, but like there's so much depth to it with all of these characters, especially Maxine, because like it explores like youth, desire, aging. Because I didn't know this till afterwards, because like the makeup was so good in this movie. Mia Goth played Maxine, the main girl,
Yes.
and she also played the old lady
Yes.
in the farm.
I figured that out when, and it's so hard to tell because the whole time I was like, is it really her? I don't know, but I sort of figured out when they showed the picture of the old lady as younger. I was like, that looks like Mia Goth as the dancer.
Yeah.
So she did a great job. She creeped me the fuck out. I was so freaked out.
Right. Like, oh my God. Like, what's interesting about like Maxine and Pearl, like they're both determined and they're both ambitious, but they also like kind of want similar things. Like Pearl wants to essentially be young again. Like, oh, she looks at Maxine as like, I wish I could be like that again.
Yeah.
Young, aspiring, hopeful. And then Maxine is looking at Pearl, and it's like, that's my future. I don't want to be like that. So it's like, they're kind of like crossing paths in a way. It's like
Beautiful.
existentialism.
Yeah.
Yes, beautiful. What's interesting about her is like, she has this aspiration and determination to make a name for herself. And she goes kind of like, she does whatever it takes to get there. Because like as they're making this film, shit goes wrong. Because like they made a few mistakes, such as not telling them why they're there at this farm, and the older couple, including Pearl, find out, and shenanigans ensue as they start killing off the young people. But Maxine learns about this and. Instead of like helping her friends, she like tries to escape.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm out of here. She's out for herself. And you
Yeah.
know what? I feel like when you're climbing the ladder and want to get to the top, that's kind of how it would be.
Exactly. She's stepping over people,
Yeah.
including her friends and her boyfriend. Like she just like, you know what? At whatever it costs, I will become famous. I will become known. I will be.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
She wanted to be like Linda Carter. She wanted to be like this sex symbol. Yeah. And she was willing to do whatever it took. And it's also going into the time period too, because I don't think it was a coincidence that this film is like, clearly it's an homage to the old slasher films of the 1970s. It's set in the 1970s, but it's also, the 1970s was a very pivotal time for America, because like, that's when individualism kind of like society leaned into that instead of like, you know, the collectivism of like before in like the 1950s or 60s. It's like the 70s was like, all right, everyone could be like their own person.
Yeah.
And I feel like all of the characters embody that. Not only just Maxine, but also like Jenna Ortega's character, Lorraine.
Lorraine, yeah.
The director, the producer, Maxine's boyfriend, like all of these characters all embody that, because like they want to be more than their upbringing or their origin. They want to be, you know, their own person. Kid Cudi too.
They want to be remembered. They,
yes, exactly.
They want to put their stamp.
Yes.
Out there.
Absolutely. And yeah, making this adult film was their ticket out of there, because like typically with these films it's like, we're gonna go to Hollywood, we're gonna go to LA, and like the characters like, we don't need Hollywood, we can make our own Hollywood
right here
right now. Let's go. That's right, Bobby Lee. Yeah, so I want to briefly talk about like the director character, RJ, before talking about Lorraine. Like, his character's interesting because, like, I feel like, in a way, I don't think it's coincidence. I think he probably embodies the director of the actual film that we're watching, X.
He's very stereotypical, like, film student kind of character. Yes. Like, anyone I went to college with who was into film, I went, oh, I've met this person.
This isn't a film, it's art.
It's not a bad thing. Like, I know someone who, like, even looked just like them in college, and, like, they were cool. That's no shade. But that, I have met this person in real life.
We all know this person in real life. Oh my God. Yeah, like I feel, I don't want to say his plight, but it ends up becoming his plight, like his ambition, where he's like, yeah, he's making like a smut movie, but he's like, I'm going to treat this as cinema, and that's going to be the difference. And it's like, oh my God. Because like this movie in and of itself, like I said earlier, it's like it could easily have been, you know, a gore fest, you know, smutty, but it's not, because the director was like, I'm going to make this as artful as possible. And I was in some of the scenes. Oh my God. Like,
I think they did a great job. Like intercutting the sex scenes with like the actual narrative, like a lot of it advanced the plot. Like they made an arty smut film.
It's
and I
possible.
Have to say, yeah, it is possible. I have to say, Lorraine's scene is actually one of my favorites. I love how they... So the scene is Lorraine Well, she wants to join the film, so that's kind of seems out of character. Which kind of leads to what you were talking about, the individualism and making your mark, where Lorraine's seeing everyone around her doing that. So she wants to. And so the scene where she decides to join the smut film, she starts the scene with Kid Cudi's character. I forgot his name.
Jackson.
And it cuts to RJ filming, he's kind of crying, and then they show the reflection through the camera lens at the start of the film, and I really liked that directorial choice. Like, I really liked where it's like him as a director wouldn't want people to see this because he doesn't want to see it, so to like not show it, I just thought that was very tasteful. I really liked like what you could pull out from that scene. Made me think a lot.
Yeah, like it's nothing is done by accident or mistake. Everything's intentional. And
yes,
that's one of my favorite scenes too, because like it's definitely, I mean, it makes sense for the character's arc as you look back and it's like, oh, of course. But like you kind of don't expect that to happen because like her character in the beginning was like uncomfortable, kind of like quiet. Like, yeah, she was helping her boyfriend because like she's into film too. But then she's like, RJ, this is smut. Are you kidding me? Why are you making this? He's like, no, it's not. It's art. It's cinema. That's going to be the difference. And like, as she is helping with this production, she is then like, oh, I want to do this. And like, when her scene finally comes up, the focusing in on the camera, it's like, she wouldn't have done this, but she did it. Not because she wanted to, well, she wanted to, but like, she did it for the camera. She was like, I want to essentially make this product better, make the film better. And what's, you know, I want to join, RJ.
Yeah, she's like, they're coming here for tits and ass. I'm going to join.
Yeah, like, oh my God, like everything about it. Because like, it could have been, you know, it could have went for like, the low-hanging fruit and like made it super gratuitous. But no, it's like, what's actually important about this scene was all these people are doing it for the camera, for the film.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. And like RJ's reaction to it. Cause like, you know, he's a big talker until it happens.
So it's just acting, but not when you're acting. That's not acting.
God, just everything about this. And I really like her character too, because like we have that arc, because like in the beginning, she like, the Maxine's boyfriend, the producer, he was like making fun of her, calling her church mouse because she's church so mouse. Quiet.
That's what it is. Yeah. I was trying to remember what it was. I'm like, farm mouse, something mouse.
Yeah, church mouse. And yeah, and then like she does that because, you know, she wants to. She wants to be who she is, individual. And the thing is, like, RJ should have been cool with it because, like, even the producer, because, like, he was, like, having a lot of issues doing that. Because, like, oh, should I let her do that? And then, like, the producer was like, well, she's going to do it whether you want to or not. So you might as well let her do this instead of, you know, repressing it. And then she just acts out in spite of you type of thing. But I guess he wasn't ready to be a director, I guess. I don't know.
It's his first film. It's hard.
Yes.
I assume first film. I don't know.
I mean, I saw some of his shots that were in the movie. They seem pretty amateur, but that's just me.
Yeah, he didn't even think about tilting the camera up for that cock shot.
Yes,
so. Exactly.
It's right there, plain as day. The gas nozzle, when he's putting the gas in the car, that's his dick. Oh, my God. You're right. Come on, man.
Art. It's art.
It's art. What's interesting is, because like I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, so like they mentioned the film Psycho, and I gotta bring this up because like that was like kind of like the justification for Lorraine to join the movie, because like RJ was like, you can't join the movie, you know, your character wasn't even established, you're not even in the movie, you can't just have this person come in for no reason. And then she mentioned Psycho, and have you seen Psycho?
No, but I know of Psycho.
Let me learn you something. Okay.
Okay.
So I really like Psycho because, like, not only is it a great film by Alfred Hitchcock, but it's also structurally so interesting. This doesn't spoil anything. Okay. But, like, the first act is about, I forget the actress's character, but it's Carrie Fisher's mom.
Yes.
Carrie Fisher's mom. she is working at a bank, and she decides to essentially rob the bank by, like, sneaking money out. And then she goes off on the run, and she's, like, kind of, like, being pursued by law enforcement. She robs the bank, and then she ends up at the Bates Motel.
Oh, okay.
And one thing leads to another. She ends up getting killed in that famous shower scene.
Yes.
With a knife. She's taking a shower. She dies. And when she dies, the main focus of the movie was, like, the money she was, like, trying to, like, get away with. The camera pans over to the money on the bed, just sitting there. And it's, like, all the time you're worrying about the money, thinking about the money, didn't even matter. Story continues.
Mm.
So she was using that to be, like, this is how I could be in your film. And I feel like the adult film, the porn they were making, was kind of like that. Because, like, that was the onboarding to this entire story. It's like they're making an adult film. They want to be movie stars. And then by the second-ish act, when bodies start dropping, the film doesn't matter anymore. The main focus of this whole movie doesn't matter anymore. Now they're just trying to survive.
That's beautiful. It's poetic.
Am I blowing your mind?
A little bit. A little bit.
Because, like, when they mentioned Psycho, I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then once the killing started, I was like, oh, my God, they're doing it. Is this what they're doing? It has to be. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. But, like, yeah, like, when that started happening, Lorraine was like, I want to be in the movie. I want to be seen as an adult, essentially.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, she is probably the younger person of the group.
I would think so.
And they call it church mouse. How big
really
are church
mouse? Yeah,
shy, small, quiet. She's like, no, I want to take some big black dick. I want to be seen as an adult. And she does. And then I don't know if it's repercussions after that, but then she kind of regrets it as she gets locked in a basement by these crazy old people that are killing off the younger people.
Oh, her poor finger.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh. She's trying to, like, first of all, she takes an axe. She gets locked in the basement. She's, like, cutting down the door. And then I see the hole that she made. And it's like, why are you so far from
the
doorknob?
If I had done that, I would be like, okay, other side.
Seriously. I'd be like, oh, too far. Yeah, she's just trying to open the door. And then, like, the old guy essentially, like, cuts her fingers off. Oh, my God. It was so gruesome. It was, oh, my God. They did a good job with the special effects.
Yes.
But, like, as they're trying to survive and escape, she confronts Maxine, and she said, this is all your fault. This is all your fault. I should have never listened to you. She should have never went to do the movie. She fucked around and found out.
She did.
Literally.
She really did. So I keep thinking about RJ's scene before, like, so when the killings first start, RJ really regrets Lorraine's choice. He's very beside himself. We see him in the shower crying, and he's like, you know, fuck this, fuck them all. Like, I got
crying
my recording.
Like a little
bitch. Yeah. And he goes to leave. And right here is where I was like, I really enjoyed the music too, like it was of the era.
Yep.
And he gets in the car, and Don't Fear the Reaper comes on.
So
which
perfect.
Is just, which is so tasteful. I loved it so much. And he turns the car on, and he sees a woman in white, which is terrifying enough. And he comes out, and he's like, hey, you okay? And Pearl, the old woman, goes and holds him, and he's just like, please don't hold me. And he's like, let's try to find your husband or something like that. And she just stabs him in the neck. She just goes for it. And that's really where the movie turns.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the lighting, the red, the not like when she's stabbing him.
Amazing.
I could have done with a little less stabbing. I was like, please stop, lady. He's dead. But the lighting was beautiful. The song, Don't Fear the Reaper. Oh, it was just, it's burned into my brain.
Yep. Core memory was made that day.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the big turning point of this whole film. Because, like, I didn't know where the film was going. And then it went that way, and I'm like, oh, we're here now.
It's refreshing, too, because the only person, well, I guess the Wayne, too, but the people who didn't have sex died first, which is usually in those films, you die first if you had sex.
That's right. Yeah. It's like the trope is, so, like, the stereotypical teenage young adult group is, like, you got, like, the nerdy guy.
Mm-hmm.
You got, like, the jockey, like, big guy. You got, like, the cheerleader, promiscuous one. You have the token minority. And then you have the nice girl, which is also the final girl. And typically, token minority dies first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, promiscuous person. And then, yeah, usually, like, the nerdy guy is also the, quote, nice guy. So he's, like, kind of sticking around till the end. But then,
yeah, usually second to last or last. Because you don't have to kill final girl.
You don't have to.
But you could.
You could. The audience will be mad. They're like, no! She should
have. And Lorraine is really the archetype for final girl, I would feel, too.
She is. She is that innocent-looking person. Even though she mm-hmm. participated in the adult film, she's still, I mean, she was just acting. Still afterwards, she's still the same person. She's still this innocent, meek, soft-spoken. She definitely has the archetype to be the final girl. Mm-hmm. Definitely not Maxine. Maxine is very much morally compromised, maybe, because of her ambitions, and she kind of just does whatever she wants to do to get there at the expense of other people.
Yeah.
But hey, that's how it subverts those tropes.
It's I loved it. Oh, it, yes, very refreshing. I was so happy Kid Cudi did not die first.
I had a feeling he wasn't going to die.
I was kind of hoping Moore would live. But I'm not mad about it.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, the motivations for the older couple is so odd. Because, like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, what is happening right now? Because Pearl, the older lady, she essentially wants to... She lived a life that she kind of regrets. Like, she wished she'd done more with her youth, and she wants it back. And so... She wants to, like, have sex with her husband. And he's like, no, I'm too old.
I'll have a heart attack.
So then...
Which...
exactly. So then he, I guess, kind of procures younger women for his wife. And then he gets angry when the younger men, he thinks, are like, you're trying to seduce my woman.
Yeah, I have, like, no... I really don't know why he locked Lorraine up. Maybe he was going to just let her go after his wife killed everyone? Killed all the guys, at least?
I don't know. Because, like...
That's why I was, like, kind of like, damn it, we should have watched Pearl. I'm so curious.
I'm curious about Pearl, too. Because, like, she clearly has some sort of same-sex... interest, because like he was like, oh, should I get this one? I think it was like the blonde that was the actress, and she was like, no, you know, I'm not into blondes. The Pearl. And I'm like,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like enough dialogue was there for me to infer, like, okay, something, there's something there, but like it's not fully explained. And like kudos to the director for that, because like he could have like exposition dumped, like, oh, you know, when I was younger, I loved the women, and then I met you, and it's like,
yeah,
we didn't do that. Just enough was there for me to be she likes girls.
Little breadcrumbs, and then they're like, come see our next movie. And you're like, you got me. Hook, line, and sinker.
Because, like, I don't know if you knew this, but, like, they were released, you know, sometime apart, but they were filmed at the same time.
Oh, nice.
Pearl and X.
Okay. Makes sense. Makes sense when they knew, like, to put that picture in. They were working on it.
We're making a cinematic universe. Move aside, Marvel. It's time for Pearl's time to shine. She wants to be a star.
One scene that stuck out with me before that. So when they're filming Maxine's scene, she's on top of Jackson, and they're doing it. And the old lady comes and looks through the window, and she sees Maxine. And Maxine, it looks like she turns around to look at her. And then it cuts to Pearl, like she's living vicariously through Maxine. So it looks like Pearl's riding Jackson. And then that's where we really get the first glimpse of the motivation of Pearl. So she's like seeing all this, you know, Randy stuff going on around. And so she puts on her makeup. She tries to get with her husband, but then her husband's like, no, I might have a heart attack. And so then she tries to get with, see if RJ will, you know, and she wants to be touched. She wants to be loved, and he rejects her. So she starts killing, I guess. And so, what is it? Lorraine wakes up and she's confused where RJ is. So she goes to look for him. And then she's outside upset. And that's when Wayne comes down. He's like, hey, what's going on? She's like, I don't know where RJ is. Is he mad at me? And he's like, and she's like, will you help me look? So Wayne goes to the farm house and looking where they filmed with the cows. And I don't know. I would not have done what he did. Like, something slid on a barn door. Oh, he stepped on a nail. That was so gross. Ugh.
He's walking around in his underwear, in his whitey tighties. And he steps on a nail. He's like, oh man, hope I don't get tetanus from this.
I don't know how people just stomp so like bump, bump, bump. Because I feel like I would have touched a little bit of nail and been like, ow, no. Like, I do not step that. Thump, thump, thump.
I don't know. Maybe his footsteps are heavier because he's such a big guy.
Maybe. But then part of, like, a door or the wall slides, and he goes and looks over, and he looks out. And then, like, a pitchfork or a trident thing, like, slams into his eye. I would never have looked through that. I would have been like...
yeah, it's an homage to, like, I would say Friday the 13th, because, like... I mean, because like that franchise, it's all, you're rooting for Jason because like, it's all about watching these creative kills, and he like kills people, like he spears them, and there's one with a pitchfork. He like gets people that way. So I think it's an homage to that. But also what's very impressive was that all of the gore was practical. It was all practical effects. And it's super expensive, you know, make prosthetics, blood squibs, so they like shoot out, but like they barely used any digital effects.
Yeah. And I think really like that.
It makes it stand apart because like it is cheaper and easier to do special like digital effects. Like you don't have to like make all these props and these physical props. You just do in the computer, green screen, boom. And a lot of slashers nowadays, they barely use any practical effects.
Yeah.
It's all digital. Even the blood for the most part, is digital. And it just, it looks fake. It looks fake. It doesn't look real. And like with films like X, where they use practical effects, I mean, we talked about this before. It just feels, it's like clearly I'm watching, I'm like, that didn't actually happen. But like, mm-hmm. it just feels real because we're watching something actually that exists in our world interact with people, with actors. And it's like, yes. it makes all of the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting is even though they did like the practical effects, like in camera, like actual prosthetics, the film looked old. The movie looked old. Like there was like this sheen to it where like, oh, this looks a little bit vintage.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That was all done in post.
Oh, really?
Those were all filters and like things to simulate an old camera.
Okay.
Because like, that's another thing. Because like with all these new films, and I can name them like, you know, like Freaky or Happy Death Day or even the new Screams, they're shot on digital and like cameras now are so crisp and clear.
Yeah.
It just looks, it's almost that telenovela effect where you have the motion blur on too much and it just, it looks like 60 frames a second. It looks kind of like cheap.
Mm-hmm.
All of these films just look, it just looks too clean. Looks too clean.
Yeah.
This film, like digitally, they added a little bit of film grain. They add a little bit of like fuzz to it where it looks just like a little bit old, not too crisp. And I applaud them. Because, like, even though they didn't use actual film, they did their best to simulate what that would look like. But not too much. They didn't go over the top with it. Because, like, there are films where it's like, oh, the dirty dust scratches, cigarette burns. No, they just, they did it as if it was, like, a high production made, you know, 40 years ago or 50 years ago.
Yeah. It's
beautiful.
One thing I really liked about the film thing too, they had some really good cuts. Like, so there's a part before everyone starts dying where Maxine goes for a swim for God knows why. She's gonna record Why Get Your Hair Wet.
That's also one of my favorite scenes, but go on.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah, I was gonna go talk about the lemonades, but we'll get back to lemonade. But the scene where she goes swimming, oh my god, she goes swimming and then they show a top-down view of her in the water and a crocodile chasing her while she's swimming to get out. I think that was the scariest part of the film for me. I was just like, get out of there, get out of there, get out of there. Oh, my God. Just the
such
the
good suspense. Use of tension.
Yes.
Because, like,
an environment.
Yeah. Because, like, she's just swimming. And then, like, the camera, like, pans and you see a crocodile head. And it's like, oh. And then beautiful top-down shots of her swimming and then the crocodile comes into frame and I'm like,
it gets slowly faster and faster. Oh,
this impending doom, the sense of dread.
It's actually a crocodile story. The crocodile kills everyone.
X: A Crocodile Story. Yeah, that was like, oh, so unnerving. That was like, so honestly, the tensest part of the whole film for me.
I watched it a second time with my boyfriend and he was like, she got out and she was like, I thought he was going to get her. I thought the whole movie was going to be about the crocodile.
Killer croc.
Yep. Hey, I mean, there's that one with, what was it? William Dafoe is the tiger loose in the town.
What the fuck?
I think it's called Maneater or something.
Oh my God. With Willem Dafoe? Are you serious?
I think it's Willem Dafoe. I'll double check.
Oh my god, I have to watch that.
So yeah, after the crocodile scene, she goes and she sees Pearl standing outside, and I think Pearl kind of motions for her to come in. And so she offers her lemonade, and then she puts the lemonade cup down, and it flips to them in the movie. Like, they're after the sex scene, they're filming the start of the film. Like, why is this man here? Why are they having sex? And like, they just did such really good cuts back and forth between where motion was happening throughout the film. And I think they did a really good job with like keeping you into the narrative and keeping tabs on the characters. And so you didn't really lose anything. I just sewn together very well.
And it also harkens back to what RJ said, because like, I've shot some video professionally, and like the people I was working with, like, how come you're taking so many shots, like so many takes? And I'm like, do you think movies are made with one take?
Right.
In order? Because like he was like, oh, why are we shooting these things out of order? And he's like, well, you know, it's like I can put it all together in editing. I just want to shoot certain things now. And I feel like that embodies the film too, because like we have that scene where Maxine is drinking lemonade with Pearl at the same time as intercutting like the porn exposition, where it's like, oh, hello, I'm looking for a place to stay. He doesn't talk like that, but you know. But yeah, it's like it's set up. Oh, I'm shooting this out of order. Payoff. They shoot the sex scenes first, and then they do the story stuff afterwards. And it's like, oh my God, this is beautiful storytelling right before my eyes.
I also really liked the opening scene as well, because it starts like inside the barn looking out, and how it's cut, the barn doors, is like it's as big as when we see the film camera reel stuff.
Yes.
So it's kind of like showing you're starting in the film, and I just, it's a really good start. And I caught it the first time, but because I hadn't seen it all, it didn't really sink in till the second watch. But
you're like, oh my God, it's like the aspect ratio. I thought it fooled me too when I was watching. I'm like, oh, this is like 4:3. And then like it expands out, and I'm like, oh my God, this is beautifully done. Why did I expect anything less from an A24 film?
Right.
Like, this is so beautifully shot. I was just astonished of how
there's a lot of good, there's just so much good parts. It just came together to make a great film.
Oh yeah. Like I said in the beginning, like a guilty pleasure of mine are these like trashy slasher movies. These trashy horror movies. And like this film obviously is an homage to that, but it's so much more.
Yes.
It's beautifully shot. And then it talks about some pretty deep things, you know, fear of aging with Pearl, being an individual with Lorraine, unapologetic ambition with Maxine. Like, it's so subtle, but it's there. If you want to dig deeper, it's such a great film. It's a beautiful film. I was surprised. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Got a lot more than I thought it would get.
Tends to happen a lot where you're like, okay, it's this. And then you watch it and then like the credits roll and you're like, oh my God, that was so beautiful.
This is my new personality for 2 weeks.
This is me. He is literally me.
Divine intervention. That's what she said.
Oh my God. We have to talk about that ending. Holy shit. Yeah. I did not expect that, because like, I thought it was just the aesthetic of the film. Oh, it's taking place in the 70s. That's like when like Christian Protestant revivalist movement was happening. Praise the Lord. Come for salvation. And then by the end of the film, that preacher that was like in the background of like the homestead where the old people were on the TV, he's like, I hope my daughter comes back to me. And then he shows the picture, and it's Maxine. My it's dear my Maxine, daughter. My yeah. daughter, she got rolled up with some wrong people. And I was like, holy shit. Oh, my God.
It explains a lot of, like, her mentality, too. Yes. Like, if she was, like, the preacher's daughter, like, how special she must have felt. She wants to be bigger now. And, like, how does that play out now if... Do you know if this is the third one? Is that a prequel or is that a sequel?
It is a sequel.
Okay.
It's called Maxine, and Maxine is stylized with three X's. So
nice.
Clearly she's probably, this is my assumption, she's probably an established porn star, and it takes place in the 80s. I don't know when in the 80s, but like based
I'm
on like
looking forward to it.
It looks awesome. The trailer is dropping. It's dropping.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, man. Yeah, like you said, it explains a lot, because like clearly you could just assume she was probably repressed growing up. And like if you repress something so long and for so, you know, so long and for so hard, it's gonna come out. It's gonna come out tenfold. And you know, she was the preacher's daughter. She's, you know, not only a Christian girl, but like a preacher's daughter. Oh my God. Like there's certain expectations for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying like, screw that. I'm going to go become a famous person. What's the fast track to become a famous person?
Sex tape,
porn star. And that's what she's doing. That was like the, oh my God, I did not, so many things I did not expect in this film. And I was not expecting that. I was like, oh my God, that was like the cherry on top.
Yeah. I also wasn't expecting Pearl to maybe be by like the scene where she like comes into Maxine's bed and she's got blood on her and she just like starts cuddling her and like.
That's so creepy.
I felt so bad for Maxine.
And her reaction too.
I don't even know if I like Maxine, but I felt bad. Oh, but it was really funny because when Maxine wakes up, she screams and then Pearl just like waddles away and like, God, Bobby Lynn, right? Opens the door and they screams because she sees this like naked old lady in front of her and then she just waddles away. She's like, oh.
Like, I feel, I don't want to sound ageist, but it's like, it's just gross. It's just gross.
It's not even the fact that like it's not like a sexy young person cuddling her. It's just like she was asleep. She like this. I don't know. Someone touching you. You don't know. It's just
someone touching you. Don't know that also looks like a zombie.
Yep.
It's like, oh my God. It's just so creepy. How did Pearl end up like this? I guess we'll find out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That after that scene, I was very curious. I was like, what in the world? How are you this way?
It's like, we saw the original trilogy. We see Darth Vader. Now we're going to go back. How did Darth Vader become Darth Vader?
I mean, prequel? She kind of sounded like Darth Vader. So like the bad. Scene where she went to walk in to like cuddle with Maxine. It kind of sounded, I think it was the music, but I thought it was her breath too. It kind of sounded like her breath.
I love you, Maxine. Oh my God. Yeah, it's cinematic parallels. It's just like when Vader told Luke, I'm your dad.
Yes, exactly.
Luke screamed, Maxine screamed. It's a horrifying experience. Oh my God. Well, Allie, I think it's time to get off the fence before we close. Are you ready?
Sure, yeah, I'm ready.
So we talked at length about X, but I want to talk about its portrayal of not only the cinema industry, but also the porn industry. Like, what did you think about its portrayal of the porn industry of the 1970s? Do you think it was in a positive light or do you think it was in a negative light?
I feel like it was very positive. They used sex as positive. They said like, hey, we're only young once. And they even mentioned when Lorraine was like, I want to do it. And he's like, no. And Wayne's like, they know they're safe. Like they've taken their tests and like she's not in any harm or danger. Like we're all, this is a safe space to try these things. So I do think this was a positive light for me personally.
Right. Cause like, there's nothing negative about that aspect of the film. Like they're like, Jackson, he's a professional. We tested him. Everyone's clean. Mm-hmm. It's a safe environment. It's acting. It's literally acting. That's all it is. It's a job. And I liked how they portrayed that. Cause like, it's nothing bad about it. It's just a film. It's just a sexy film. But what's bad is killing people.
Yes.
Don't do that. Don't lock people up in the basement. Don't chop their fingers off.
Mm-mm.
Don't blow their head off when they're trying to run away.
Oh, side thing. Yeah. Speaking of being locked in the basement.
You got locked in the basement.
I'm really hoping. There's a dead guy in the basement with his pants off. And I really hope Pearl answers what the fuck that dude's doing down there. Like, it could just be the end of the movie. The guy knocks on the door and says, hi, I'm lost. And I'm like, oh, that's the guy in the basement. Like, it could just be something like that. I just hope Pearl.
Wasn't that RJ?
That was RJ? I thought RJ was still on the ground outside.
No, I think she dragged him inside because I think, if I remember, you saw this film twice. So please correct me if I'm wrong. But when...
Well, I was also playing One Piece trading card game the second time.
But when Maxine went to, because like Lorraine was concerned, oh my God, where's RJ? And then Bobby was like, well, the truck's still here, so he has to be somewhere. He's just processing what's going on. When she went to the van, his body wasn't there. And then when Maxine came to the farm, the body wasn't there. And then I think the big reveal was,
he looked like he was more dead, like he'd been there a while. I don't know why.
I do so agree with you. I mean, I also didn't get a good look at him.
That's true.
All we saw
was if it's RJ, we're good. We're good. It makes sense. If it's not, whose man's is this? Well, they've obviously done this before.
Right. It's either RJ or when the husband character was talking to Jackson.
They found that car.
Yes. The Beetle, which it's also an homage to Psycho because that was also the car the woman in the beginning was driving.
Oh. It was a Beetle. I like that.
If I remember correctly. But yeah, like that could have been because like he was saying like, I've seen you bohemian types trying to tempt my wife. So that could have been someone else they killed. So it's either RJ or someone else.
Yeah.
What do you think? Get off the fence. Which one is it? Is it RJ or someone else?
It looked like he was more dead. And like, I think it's like the Beetle. I think it's Beetle guy.
Beetle guy. It was one of the Beatles.
Yes.
You know, I agree with you. Because why would they show that Beetle? Because I was also like, they didn't explain that, but then they did.
Well, they make a comment about the crocodile. So I feel like they've been throwing people to crocodiles too. So this is not her first. Because she was like, the old man was like, she gets kind of weird at night. Yeah, this is not Pearl's first rodeo.
No, it's not. Which leads me to my next question. Do you think the husband of Pearl was in the dark, or do you think he relatively knew what his wife was up to?
I think he knew what his wife was up to, but I feel like there's a soft spot to the old man. But then how he just point blank shotgunned
Jenna Ortega.
Lorraine. Yeah, Jenna Ortega. So
and
he's not like. So he's definitely an accomplice to all this for sure. Yeah. But why did he's like, I told her not to get out of the basement. Like, was he going to let her go? Was he saving it for Pearl maybe?
He was definitely saving her for Pearl. Because, like, I don't know what Pearl wanted. She wanted something. I think she.
Maybe the movie will answer her questions.
Maybe Pearl will explain this all. because, like, yeah, we have that dead guy in the basement. And then he locked Lorraine in the basement for something. And he even mentioned that to Pearl. And Pearl was like, no, she wanted Maxine.
Yeah.
There's something special about her. I don't know. I don't know what they were going to do.
Were they just going to be like, you're our adopted daughter now. Fuck that.
I think it was a bit more nefarious. Just going with the clues of dude tied up like a pig. His pants are down and he's dead. Safe to assume they're going to do something similar to Lorraine / Maxine.
Probably.
I don't know. That's just my assumption.
You know, you're right. I just hope for the best in people.
You're our my daughter now. Oh, I guess this is my life. No. This clearly isn't their first rodeo, but I think Pearl is more experienced in killing than the husband. Because, like, the one line he said as they were moving Lorraine's body, where he was like, we have to do this right, Pearl. We have to hide the body. They're going to be, you know, if she's in the house, it's self-defense. That's the law.
Yeah, she knows her laws. She's... Yes, not her first rodeo.
We have to do this right, Pearl. So, sounds like he's not as seasoned as Pearl, but
not at all.
I don't know. I think he was not fully in the dark.
Except for he's more seasoned with shotguns, because that backfired on her.
Right.
The best kill and the most justified kill was Maxine running over Pearl with a car. That felt so good.
It was satisfying.
So satisfying.
It was also satisfying when she like used the shotgun and she got blown back and she like yes. broke her hip. And I'm like,
my hip.
Love it. Oh my God. She gets run over. I'm like, what do you expect? What do you expect to happen?
Right?
You gonna live? No.
And it's like, she didn't make it any better for herself to get help. She's like, you're not special. Don't say that, Maxine. She'll like, fuck you up.
Fuck you. Oh no, don't hurt me. What do you expect gonna happen? Oh my God. Oh, yeah, I loved it. And what's also nice about that ending is, so like Maxine's a sole survivor, and you haven't seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-mm.
That's kind of how Texas Chainsaw Massacre ends.
Okay.
Where you have the final girl, and she survives, a little ambiguous, but she survives by driving off in a truck. Which is exactly what Maxine did. So a little bit of an homage there.
That's nice.
A lot of homages in the homage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my final question for you.
Okay.
Would you recommend X to a friend?
Yes, I already did. I made my boyfriend watch, and I would definitely recommend
yeah.
this.
It's so good.
Yes.
I'm surprised how good it was. Like, it was... I shut it off and I was like, that was awesome. And I was like staring at the end credits and like the song it's playing. I'm like, this is amazing. It's yes. like I went to the grindhouse. I loved it. I want more. I want more, damn it.
Yeah, as soon as I turned it off, I was like, should I message her mom? Should I start watching Pearl? But I didn't.
I didn't want to overload you. But yeah, we got to watch Pearl. Oh my God, Pearl.
Yes, that's I'll be doing that probably within the week.
Woo woo. Yeah, oh my God. I can't wait. Well, Allie, thank you so much. I know I subjected you to this film, but you enjoyed it, so.
I did. I loved it. Thanks for the recommendation.
You're welcome. I won't apologize. You had a great time. Holy moly. Well, Allie, it's always been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Are you looking forward to Pearl?
Yes, I am. Very much so.
Awesome. Well, Allie, is your book out yet?
Yes, I published it like 2 days ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Is it for sale?
Yes. It's a little poetry book called Trials of Storms. And I'll give you that link.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's ready. It can be be bought. Yeah. My mom bought 10 of them. And I'm like, Mom, let people buy them.
You're trying to become a New York Times bestseller.
I guess so.
I just buy all the copies. Oh my
yeah,
God.
So yeah, I just put that one out, and then I started writing some more poems, so hopefully I can Sweet. Start a second one. Hopefully it doesn't take 3 years like this one, but
awesome. Well, I will look forward to reading that, and hopefully everyone listening will also get a copy too. That's amazing. The link will be in this episode. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Armand.
You're welcome. Well, are you ready to sign off?
Yes, sir.
Let's do this. This has been real. All right. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, everyone listening. Stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd, where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at Syndicate. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.